and welcome to Chats For You. This is the podcast where I, James, talk to people I like for you, the public. And that is really all it is. I asked some people if I could talk to them, some of them let me, and that is what's about to happen. It's a great premise. In this third episode, I speak to the character comedian Matthew Ellis. And as I said in his introduction, Matthew does characters in his act. And I've known Matthew for a while, but we've never had like a proper in-depth chat about comedy. And I've never really spoken to someone who does characters before. And so Matthew knows what it's like to do characters. I wanted to know. So it just seemed like a perfect fit. And I think it's a good chat, probably the most in-depth chat to date. That is out of what I've done in the podcast, maybe not out of everyone ever. Here's the chat with Matthew Ellis. Getting your shoes off there?
Yes.
Comfortable?
Comfortable, very comfy, yes.
Matthew, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So yeah, we're just going to sort of chat a bit about your characters and things like that. And you've got a show at the Fringe, haven't you?
Yes.
Give me a bit of details about that.
Okay, the show is called Britain's Got... Can I swear?
If you want, yeah.
Britain's Got Fuck All Talent.
Oh, God.
That's at the Caves every day at 3:35 p.m.
Basically, fuck, that's a naughty word, isn't it?
Yes, it's a very bad word. But I've got a star in it, but I couldn't say fk.
Oh, okay.
Or however you pronounce it. So, yeah, that's a kind of parody.
Well, so it's F star CK.
Yes. But okay. A lot of people sometimes do the star K, which I don't like.
That could be a different word, couldn't it? What word could it be? Felk.
Yeah.
Yep. Britain's Got Felk All Talent.
Yep. Irish.
Yeah, so you in this show, are you? How many characters are you doing in this show?
I'm doing four.
Four?
Again, yeah.
So sort of, why do you do characters? Like, what is it you prefer to doing characters than stand-up about you sort of thing?
I think it's because I hate myself so much. I've got a real hate for myself. But also, I used to do comedy as myself. I did about 30 gigs as me, and it was just rubbish. Well, it wasn't rubbish, it was just... I didn't have a certain voice, I didn't have a style, it was all just a kind of dramatised monologue. It was very misogynistic, and that doesn't get women on your side if you're misogynistic, really.
Yeah,
unless they're coming to see a specific misogynistic comedian, which I find to be very rare, unless they've got the charm to pull it off. But no, it was just rubbish. Whereas characters, because I studied acting, I always liked...
All right, okay, I didn't know you did that, yeah.
Whatever parts I was kind of given in a play... was always character based. And I used to get annoyed because I never got the lead role or stuff like that. It was always a kind of like what Gary Oldman or Philip Seymour
Hoffman
he's always, they're always the supporting role or the character stuff, but I've always preferred watching them, and that was what I was always kind of offered. And then I thought, you know, let's see what it's like on stage. And then tried out a character and it went okay. And it's also easier to hide behind, not hide that, people say that, oh, you hide behind it, but it's more, if something goes wrong, you can blame the character. Because when I used to do comedies, me and it went bad, I would blame myself and then quit comedy.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then stop for a few months. So I would take it more personal if it was me. Personally, if it was me, sorry. Whereas characters... And you can have so much more fun. You could explore so many different avenues and make up stories. And something that I wouldn't have... You know, people wouldn't have believed what you were saying on stage as yourself. But as a character, you can make up any backstory. You can say where you've been the day before.
Yeah.
And so it's just... so many avenues you can venture down.
And with sort of like with your characters, I was thinking about the backstory, like how much of that is planned? Like, do you know a lot more than you say on stage about your characters?
Yeah, I think it was with drama school, they always said that you need to know as much about your character on stage, whether it's a character or your main guy. You should always have a backstory and know every single little thing about him. There's also a thing in acting, again, this might go off the comedy, but like there's a six step by Uta Hagen who said, like, where are you going, where have you been, what do you want, and there's three other steps that but you should always know everything about. So yeah, so Jelly Bean's got his main story, but then there's so many other little bits and bobs that I know about him that don't necessarily need to go on stage, but they could come out on stage at a later date if I ever wanted to expand the duration he's on stage.
And that makes it easier to improvise if you know all that stuff.
You know, so there's little bits I've started putting about his mum being an alcoholic. It was always the focus of his dad, but then you've also got to kind of have a backup plan.
You
should always plan a backup plan. It's even when I rehearse, I plan heckles.
Right.
Like some people in my living room are heckling me, and I'll put them down, kind of thing. Yeah. So it just means you're prepared and stuff like that, but yeah.
So it's just you on your own?
Just me on my own for days locked away in a room going,
oh, you're
crazy.
Rubbish.
Stuff like that. Yeah. You're going, look how fat you are. You're just so ugly. So I'm prepared. I've got ammunition ready for any kind of looking person. So yeah.
Obviously, with these characters, you'll have like, it'll start with a little idea or something like that. When do you feel that a character is sort of complete and more than just an idea?
So I'll probably take an idea, and then it's been quite interesting, the process for this year's show of writing them, because Jellybean's coming back, but he's got a new set, so he's easy enough to kind of write for. His premise of the show is that he won it last year, and he's going to talk about the year.
Yeah,
what he's been up to in the year. Whereas the other three characters, I've wrote them in all three different kind of ways. One character I wrote backwards, so I started from, they've all got talents, essentially, that's their thing, mm-hmm. They're all competing in the talent show. So I worked backwards with him, and the female character kind of just improvised her script and then got stuff out of it. And then the third character, I wrote a script for him, but he's been driving me crazy because I've been trying him out for a year.
Right.
So I've been taking him to different clubs and he's not worked, or some bits have worked, and then I've completely scrapped the idea and rewrote a few, so he's been... But it's not, I don't know, it's until I feel completely comfortable in the character, I know it, I can improvise with it and I can ad-lib. If I'm able to ad-lib on stage, that I feel that means I'm ready with the character.
Yeah.
That means I'm comfortable with them.
And how many characters have you got, would you say you can do that with?
I think, I've got 9 characters that I've performed on stage, and Jellybean without a doubt, there's 2 in the show this year that I'm very comfortable with to improvise with, and then there was, but I'd say more than half of them that I'm capable of improvising, because if you've spent so much time creating a script, you can bullshit your way out of it.
Right,
you can use
little
techniques from other characters, and it's all about, with a comedian, we'll always have ammunition, and we'll have an arsenal of things they, if they're comped, and they can say to people that they'll take to another gig, so it can look like it's off the cuff, but it was already prepared, like a kind of Peter Cook.
Right,
thing that they kind of plan stuff before they did their shows.
Okay, And how do you sort of... Is there a process where, like, let's say you know you're doing a stag do, just a sort of certain type of gig?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this character will be best for that? I'll do that. Is that the sort of process that happens?
Yeah,
that?
I think Jellybean gets booked quite a lot for kind of stag do stuff because he doesn't rely too much on material. Because I was in Amsterdam visiting my dad a couple weeks ago, last month. And we went to a sex show, which is quite weird to go to with your dad.
Yeah.
And what it was the women would bring the men up on stage and either get them to eat a banana, or they would draw with a marker pen in their lady parts, draw a bad boy in their chest. And I just realised that's what Jellybean is. I'm a stripper, essentially. And for a stag do that want comedy, you know, they're not really wanting to listen sometimes to the material. They want the piss ripped out their best man or themselves. They want to be the centre of attention. So Jellybean's more about... No, I don't try to embarrass people, but it's to get people up and to kind of break that fourth wall so that you're not speaking to people, but you've got everyone involved. So I think Jellybean's always going to be the main guy for that, because I feel most surprisingly comfortable as a bisexual Spaniard. But he's more about crowd control and, getting people up and putting people down if they're going to be good.
Not a sentence most of us say. I feel most comfortable as a bisexual
Spaniard. But even the new woman I've got on the show, who's a 48-year-old mum of 3, I'm more comfortable. She's the second most comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm more comfortable in front of strangers wearing these weird clothes.
Maybe you've got to make some big life changes.
I don't know. Maybe I'm quite comfortable just being that person that's that comfortable on stage as these characters, but then a bit awkward more in day-to-day life. Because I think I can be very... awkward, but I don't mind if it's good on the stage.
I'd rather
be that rather than being some cocky arsehole.
And you said that Jellybean gets booked for stag do's. Is that how it works? Do they book the character, or do you choose the character that you do?
They'll choose the character.
Right. Okay.
Most of my other characters don't really get booked for anything else. Just because. The way I write them is not necessarily, they're not for a weekend crowd, they fit in context with the show, is that they've all got a story, and they've all got a talent, and they're all weirdos. Whereas Jellybean's just got a bit more. I think I, in the review it says he's very Pontins, so it is a kind of cabaret kind of singing and dancing, camp storytelling, taking the mickey out of people, but in a innocent way. So yeah, it's more Jellybean that'll get booed.
And with it, we'll use Jellybean as an example. What are the origins of Jellybean like? How did you come up with him?
There's like a few people have asked me this, and I've tried. Normally, I'm very good at. There's been little parts. When I first came to uni in Edinburgh 5 years ago, I met a very good friend, Craig, and we always improvised together. We would always do stupid. We still do it as well. We do stupid voices back and forth, and one of them was probably what could be deemed the racist Mexican mock accent that we used to do back and forth. And then that kind of always stuck. And then I was kind of at a point where I was trying to come up with a really good character, and I sat down and I researched the history of characters, and I was like, what hasn't really been done? Is it kind of pop star taking the piss out of all these horrible people that do X Factor, Britain's Got Talent? So I kind of thought that, and then I thought sexuality could be another avenue you go down. I never meant to insult anyone in the kind of gay community with that. Is he more a silly kind of thing? But I can see how some people might get insulted by it. But I just thought sexuality was a different avenue you could go down, and then the fact that he's foreign is a brand new avenue, so that you could people get amazed when they see foreign people do jokes, because they're like, holy shit, how do you know about Right Said Fred? So I think that might not necessarily be hugely funny, but they might go, that foreign guy, because some people still think Jellybean is, I am Spanish. So yeah, it was just a kind of mixture of all that, and then I was like, he's got to have a backstory. And he was originally a Eurovision Song Contest reject. Then a week later, you obviously knew of Steve Coogan and some of his characters, but I never knew of his character Terry Felinos, which was a Portuguese Eurovision. So I was like, I don't want to be on the same. I don't want people thinking that I saw that kind of. So I changed the story that he was the son of a famous pop star, and then just built on it. And then the sets in rehearsal, I rehearsed too much, which is not a bad thing, I think. But with rehearsals, even though I know the script, every time you rehearse, you can find something new that you can work on. There's a little bit, or you're. So yeah, it's just a case of spending a lot of time alone, which I do.
And you mentioned sort of like Steve Coogan. Obviously, was he like an inspiration to you character wise?
He wasn't originally, because I'm not like, I don't mind Alan Partridge, but I was never like a big huge fan of it. It wasn't until after really getting into characters that I sat down and watched this kind of live in Lude, and that was a great thing to watch and kind of study, which was his, I think it was 92, 93.
Was that Paul Calf?
Pauline Calf, Duncan Thicket, Pauline Calf, yeah, Duncan Thicket, and his safety guy, which I can't remember the name of. So my kind of show is pretty much the same as that. I've got, what's your man from Cold Feet? Is it John Thompson?
Yeah, I think that's it.
So that's what I've got, and I've got Liam Withnail. He's the compare guy in Enough Time to Change. And but no, I think, Steve Coogan certainly later on has been, just because he's brilliant what he does. And he started off impressions and stuff like that, and then characters and Alan Partridge took him off in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been more other people that have inspired me. More Steve Coogan was more kind of later.
Is there any sort of ideas that you've had that you've not been able to put into a character yet that you sort of...
I've got so many different little ideas that I could work on, but I spent so much time going crazy writing the show and getting new characters ready, whereas I've kind of neglected Jellybean, which is my better character, and I've neglected him to write. So it's whether you focus on your kind of best product, or you make other little ones. So I've got other little ideas for little things, but then in this day and age, it's so hard to be original.
With
so many characters and everything from Little Britain. I was trying to think of a British character that's not been done by those guys. Come Fly With Me, and then Harry Enfield, and what Sacha Baron Cohen's done. It's just so difficult to come up with an original concept that's also funny as well, without kind of, you know, touching on what other people have done in the past. It's just trying to find that. So I was high the other night, can I mention?
If you want to.
And I wrote down what I thought was like a, not a mind map, but you know, just a bubble in the middle with little links.
Right, yeah,
I wrote
yeah.
down what I thought is the perfect either formula or ingredients for a character. Mm-hmm. So I took every best little bit of every character I've done, and so it's a little ingredients.
Right,
it's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
much everything that you would expect, but in my head I'm going, if you've got a bit of that and you've got a bit of this and a bit of that, mm. then you can make a decent character. But again, it's just coming up with an original
right,
concept,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
which is the tough thing.
And are you sort of like, I'll just use Jelly Bean again because it's a character I'm most familiar with. Mm-hmm. Are you used to like sort of, are you fine being Jelly Bean like outside anywhere? Is it sort of a thing where you just do it on stage, or can you pretty much be him anywhere?
I can, if people speak about him, then I'll go into his voice kind of thing. But yeah, I don't, it's.
Are you fine like dressing up as him and being anywhere, like you're not self-conscious or anything
I
like that?
I probably wouldn't go out clubbing dressed as him.
Right, right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, it's just, it would just be a lot of head turnings, at least within a comedy club.
Right, yeah,
expected,
yeah.
rather than, I wouldn't want to be that attention seeker going, but, I mean, when my friend and I made the film together, you know, I was out in Edinburgh wearing this kind of costume,
yeah, yeah.
he made me dance outside the art gallery to one of my songs.
Yeah.
It's a bit awkward, strange night when people don't know why you're doing this. But I mean, if it came like a candid camera thing, or if we were filming outside, then I'd happily do that. But going out dressed as him, probably not, just because he wears very tight leggings,
right?
And
yeah,
flamenco shirts. It's a bit strange.
Is it sort of in like the process for getting into character? Is that something that takes a while every time, or is it like a switch you can just do it?
My thing is, I'm very superstitious,
and right.
to a degree, an illness of superstition.
Right.
The way I get every part of Jelly Bean's clothing has to be put on the same way. So first off, it's the leggings. I have to fold my boxers in, and it's the shirt.
Right. Yeah.
And it's the boots, and I have to put my hair in the middle part. And by that point, the necklace on first, earring to the left ear. And the minute the hat goes on is when the accent in Jelly Bean comes to life.
Right. Okay.
And then the glove, and then the tunic. So that's the order I do, because I'm so superstitious.
Right,
if
yeah,
I put
yeah.
on the, I always put my left boot on first. If I put my right boot on first, I'm gonna go, or I'm gonna have a bad show.
It's right, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just something I've always tried to get, but it's just a fucking OCD
illness
that I've never been able to control, which is weird because that's not gonna jeopardize.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's gonna happen on stage? So yeah, no, it's because I know him so well. It's just that case of the minute the hat is on. It's, I know this sounds cheesy, but it's the minute, you know, when Superman comes out of his phone box kind of thing.
Right, yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah.
For me, when you put the hat on, is this new confident guy.
Have you ever done that? Like, had a suit on top of the Jelly Bean thing, come out of phone box? I'm Jelly Bean now.
No, but I do have a gig tomorrow night where I have to run from one gig to the other gig and there's nowhere to change, so I was thinking, I'll put on my clothes on top of Jelly Bean's clothes and slyly get changed at the back of the room like a weirdo, so, because I never like people seeing that there's two people. People call me a diva a lot.
Right.
They always call me a diva because I always ask for somewhere to change. Because
uh-huh.
if you want people to believe that your character is believable,
yeah.
that's a separate person, you don't want them seeing a guy wearing a grey t-shirt and skinny jeans with Converses on with a weird Playmobil haircut.
Right.
You don't want them to see that guy at all or hear
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
They want to, if you want people to buy into this, then you have to sell it to them that this person came to the gig dressed like this,
yeah.
speaks like this, acts like this, and is going to leave on the train as the same guy that was on stage.
Is that at the point where, like, if they didn't have a place to change, you wouldn't do it?
not in that case. I would just find somewhere, whether
right.
it be a disabled toilet. I mean, I've had to go to bars and clubs where the club is in a separate room, there's people eating their dinner in another room, and the disabled toilets are all the way across the room.
Yeah.
So there was once in Glasgow at the West Brewery where I had to do that, but I put my leather jacket over my flamenco shirt.
Right, right.
But I'm still wearing these leggings and pantaloons with a red handbag, and people are eating their dinner like, what the fuck is this guy about? And I was like, it's for the comedy. No, I'll always do. I mean, I'm never too much of a diva like that, but I'll find somewhere to get changed. But even in Burnt Island, I had to get changed outside in the smoking area and hope no one would come out, because it was a man's pub that was, there was nowhere to get changed in the bar. Plus, everyone was kind of watching everyone as well. So.
Have you ever sort of had a thought of your own that you'd sort of rather share as you and don't know how to put it into a character?
Yeah, there's loads of, Again, because I can be such an awkward person, I've got so many awkward situations and so many stories I'd love to talk about on stage and in relationships and family stuff, and there's so much of that stuff I'd love to. And again, Liam Withnail keeps encouraging me to one day never not do me on stage, because I've got so much stuff I'd like to talk about, but yeah, I'm still not comfortable enough in my own skin. But it would be quite interesting to see what I'd be like as a comedian now that I've kind of picked up tricks.
Right, yeah,
you know, you know, about stagecraft, which is all important stuff. I would never consider myself a decent joke writer, in the sense that my humour's not intelligent. People are never going, wow, that is really smart, and he did a callback there, and wow, and a play on words there. It's a lot of cock jokes, and I think what my style more is performance-based. But I think now that I've spent so much time in comedy clubs watching people, I think now that I've been able to pick up ways that jokes are written and how people deliver and stuff like that. So I'd love to go, yeah, it's frustrating. But the weird thing is, the flip on that question is, I've tried out material as Jellybean that I used to do, and it got bigger laughs. So
right,
I think saying
it
in a funny voice with this character, it's the psychology of comedy is so interesting, that how that works, and it didn't work for me, or maybe it was just delivered badly by me. Or
right, yeah.
Very interesting. But yeah, I would like to, maybe one day when I hate Jellybean so much, when I've created like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde,
right, yeah,
I can reflect back on that, or something, when I kill them off, because I think I will get jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people like him more than they like me. They're like, oh wait, you're not Spanish, and you're not, and you're like, no, I'm sorry, I'm quite an awkward guy from Aberdeen. They're like, oh, right, cool. Yeah, thanks. So yeah, no, I will hate him.
Yeah. So you have people thinking he's real?
Yeah.
Do you have that a lot?
People will come up, and because I'll go outside for a cigarette, and they'll go, wait, is that you? And I was like, yeah. Oh, you weren't fucking, all right, you're not fucking, where are you from? And I'm like, Aberdeen. Like, I've got to apologise for it.
Yeah.
But that for me, it is an achievement if I've made people think that he's Spanish and that he's believable.
Yeah,
that for me is and again, also there's been a few rare occasions where some people have watched the entire Britain's Got Fuck All Talent show and thought that was four different people. So for me, that is an achievement. But then again, that might be people that are really stupid.
Right.
They can't realise that it's four people. But then in my head I'm like, wow, I managed to make them believe it was four different people.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And do you sort of ever, just when you're out and about in a normal day, as you would, like you're in a situation and think, this is how Jellybean would handle this? Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, because Jellybean doesn't really give a shit. He wouldn't.
It's the same with other characters as well. Like, you just try and, you're in different situations and you'll think about how they'd cope and what they'd say in this sort
of. Sometimes, yeah, and then it can make me have a little chuckle, but I know Jellybean would be more confident and go up to situations and attack situations and have more of a brass neck and be more cheekier and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I overthink everything too much, where I can be impulsive, whereas Jellybean's much more impulsive. So he doesn't think something, especially when he's on stage, but in real life, yeah, I think he would.
Yeah,
sometimes to see what these characters would do.
What would sort of, like, make you happier? Would it be like, have Jellybean, for example, become like really famous, or have like a few characters that you're proud of but not necessarily well known?
I don't know, because the thing with Jellybean is I've got like so many different ideas that I'd like to do with him, that I'm not necessarily famous, but it's trying to find that avenue that I'd like to go down with, that I'd quite like to present with Jellybean. But then you're kind of, I get, again, Liam, who you know, takes a mickey at me for being like Keith Lemon, which I don't think is a bad thing. He's like, he's a popular television program host. But then you look at Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's had three extremely well-defined, brilliant characters that each, people like different things. People love Ali G, or people love Bora, or people. But he's got that, but then he's made them all famous. He's made, you know, $100 million movies with them, and he's tricked the entire world, and they're extremely intelligent. So no, probably something like that would be good. But again, it's just finding those decent characters that people like and that you can expand on. So it's a tough one. See how Jellybean goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I like, there's so many different avenues to explore with them.
Can you tell us a bit more about the show that you're doing?
Yeah, sure. This show is for people who don't like Britain's Got Talent. I think it's an absolutely horrible programme. I think it can give people opportunities, yes, but also doesn't give them opportunities in the long run because they'll get forgotten within a year unless you're very fortunate. Simon Cowell and the Psycho Productions have single-handedly ruined what we watch on TV and what we listen to. He's manipulated everything that we buy. I mean, if he wasn't doing it, someone else would be doing it. But he's got the stronghold in like 39 countries where they've got talent. They take the piss out of these people by building them up through, like, the people that, the, you know, have seen the first few weeks of the auditions. It's essentially what my show is about the weirdos. But they take the, they build up their courage by going, oh, you're going to be the next best thing. And so that their pull back and reveal when they finally go in front of the judges is to be humiliated by them. And it's a sense of bullying. You can imagine that Simon Cowell was that asshole that would make kids dance by throwing money at them in the kind of school ground. It's so frustrating, this kind of crap TV that's been going on since, when was the first kind of pop stars, pop idol? It was like 2001. And then there's, again, they have all these sympathy stories where you don't really win by merit, it's by who's got the most tragic story, who's born with no limbs and no mouth.
Right, yeah.
And who just hums. And people are like, oh my god, this is amazing. I mean, it can give opportunities to people that are less fortunate, but, you know, you have to bite this whole sob story. So again, with the show, they've kind of got their sob story, which builds up to their talent, which is not necessarily a decent talent, but in their heads, they think the characters are brilliant with this talent. So, and then the audience get to vote, so there's a kind of red and green card. So, because I know for a fact that so many people back home are going, why the fuck did this idiot get through? Or, I can't believe they didn't get through.
Yeah.
So at least after each act, they'll get to vote for the character if they like them or if they don't like them. Which is tough, because if someone gets loads of red cards, I can find that quite personal that the character did the right job. But then that's just people's taste. You're not going to have that 100%. That was what's the best quote I've ever heard was Sacha Baron Cohen said, you're never going to have a 100% success record. Yeah. He probably didn't just say that, but I remember he probably said that on Howard Stern. And I've always now taken defeat or a bad gig less personally, knowing that you can't.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you'll never have a 100% success record. But yeah, so that's the show. And then Jellybean's back and Liam does a fantastic job of being like kind of Ant and Dec.
And when and where is the show?
This is at the Caves. Starts on August the 1st to the 25th, not the 13th, at 15:35. And that's just up the stairs with Just the Tonic at the Caves.
Cool. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Let's stop it. That was the chat with Matt Ellis. Thanks to Matthew, or Ellis, as I call him. Thanks to Ellis for the chat. And if you want to see what Jellybean Martinez is up to, he's on Twitter at JellyTalking. So you obviously want to see what he's up to, so that's where you can do that. If you like this podcast, you can follow the Twitter account at Chats4You for info on the latest episodes and also exclusive never-before-heard questions. They'll be posted on the account, so it's questions that have never been asked by anyone ever before. It's very hard to keep track of it sort of factually, but I'd guess they wouldn't have been asked. Thanks for listening. This podcast was an Imminent Joy production. Visit imminentjoy.com for a bunch of different funny people doing a bunch of different funny things.